Well, I want to, get everybody ready here. Well, thank you all for joining us today. It's certainly a big day for Iowa. We get to celebrate the state's single largest capital investment project again. Back in February, I had the chance to weigh in on the announcement of the Iowa Fertilizer Company that this project had chosen Iowa at a $1.4 billion investment, the creation of 165 permanent jobs, and a couple of thousand construction jobs over the next couple of years. We knew it was a project that would invigorate the Iowa economy, and landing in Lee County, one of our state's hardest hit areas, we thought this was wonderful, and we were excited to see this happen. Although there were some bumps along the way, I can't say I would change any of my comments from what I said back then. This $1.4 billion project will indeed invigorate the Iowa economy, will provide some great quality jobs, and will provide very important fertilizer for Iowa farmers. It does give hope for those who have been waiting a long time in the Lee County area for great job opportunities. And I am again very proud that the Iowa Fertilizer Company has chosen Iowa and chosen Lee County. Now, we know you went through a lot, and there have been a lot of challenges along the way. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor for her comments.
Well, thank you, Governor, and good afternoon. It is indeed a great day for our state as a whole, as well as our friends in Lee County. In addition to a capital investment and new jobs, this project also means that it will have a widespread effect on Iowa's ag economy. Access to fertilizer that is produced locally means a more stable supply and less dependency on imports. It also will reduce the cost due in part to the reduction in transportation cost. The Iowa Farm Bureau estimates this could be worth $740 million annually to Iowa farmers. And having another significant foreign direct investment announcement tells the world that Iowa is open for business. We live in a global economy, and continuing to increase our exports and work with foreign-based companies to attract investment creates jobs in Iowa. Iowa Fertilizer Company's parent company, Orascom Construction Industries, joins other foreign investments made in our state. For example, earlier this year, South Korean-based CJ Corporation chose Iowa for their first American manufacturing plant, and so did Valent Biosciences, a Japanese-based company, just to name a few. So we are certainly proud of their as well as your investment in Iowa. And we will continue to work to bolster Iowa's economy by making Iowa competitive in a rapidly changing global economy. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce Mr. Soizi, CEO of Orascom Construction Industries, to say a few words. On behalf of the governor and I, we certainly welcome you to Iowa as well as your business.
Thank you. Governor Branstad, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, thank you for the warm welcome we have received in Iowa. We are honored to be here working with you and other state officials, including Director Debbie Durham of the Iowa Economic Development Authority. Orascom Construction Industries is pleased to announce today that its subsidiary, Iowa Fertilizer Company, will build its new $1.4 billion nitrogen fertilizer plant in southeast Iowa near the town of Weaver in Lee County. I would like to thank the Iowa Economic Development Authority officials and the Lee County supervisors for their tireless efforts to help us bring this project to fruition. After considering multiple locations, Iowa was a natural fit for our fertilizer plant. As the top corn-producing state in the country, Iowa is home to many of the farmers that will use Iowa Fertilizer Company's products. We look forward to being part of Iowa's strong agriculture tradition and serving Midwest farmers. We are also pleased to announce today that our construction group has agreed to acquire the Whites Company, an Iowa-based construction company that will play a major role in the construction of the fertilizer plant. We look forward to breaking ground soon on the plant and continuing our partnership with the state of Iowa and Lee County. Thank you.
I have a little more to say before we answer questions. As excited as we are to welcome Iowa Fertilizer Company to our state and to celebrate this single largest investment in our state's history, today's announcement underscores a bigger issue that we must deal with as a state. Our business climate simply is not as competitive as it needs to be in today's global economy, and we need to provide a significant incentive package in order for this to happen. We were able to land this project by the skin of our teeth after nearly losing it to Illinois, a state that is a poster child for debt, unfunded liability, and corruption. In fact, Barron's Magazine, if you see their recent edition on the 27th of August, listed Iowa as the second best managed state in the entire country in fiscal management, and Illinois was rated as the second worst managed state in the country. Even with Illinois' tax increase of last year and poor fiscal management, Iowa still had difficulty competing because our tax climate is worse for a project like this, where substantial sales are to farmers in Iowa, as opposed to a manufacturer that's selling most of its products outside the state. If that doesn't wake us up, I don't know what will. What I do know is this: we cannot afford to go one more year without making meaningful changes in Iowa's commercial and industrial property taxes, as well as our corporate and personal income tax structure. Our bracket rates are too high. Our tax returns are too complicated. We must simplify our structure and lower our tax rates if we are to be globally competitive. Yes, we need to have a toolbox of incentives to compete in the world where every other state and country does the same. But if we improve our business climate by reducing the tax burdens, then we don't need to have the type of incentives that we're looking at in this project. We also can then more fairly treat our longstanding companies that stick with Iowa through thick and thin, instead of spending so much of our resources attracting a few new big projects like this that are making significant investments in creating great jobs. I want to thank the Iowa Economic Development Authority Board, which took action today to approve this Iowa Fertilizer Company, and especially Debbie Durham, who I know worked very hard on this. I know Chuck Gipp from DNR has also been involved in providing information and helping with the permitting process that will have to be accomplished for this project. And I want to especially thank the Lee County Board of Supervisors. Lee County has worked long and hard on this project, and there were other counties that also competed in this, but we are very pleased and we're very appreciative of the great work of Lee County and the support that Lee County has given to this project. The economic development impact will be great for Lee County and ripple throughout our state, and will have a significant impact in helping us grow the kind of quality jobs and strengthen the strong, important agricultural economy that we have in this state. We must not continue to put ourselves in a situation where we have to compete on incentives when, in fact, by making our tax structure more competitive, we'll be able to compete on a much more effective basis for both growing existing industry and new business. I will diligently work over the next few months to solidify our plan to reform our tax structure, working with the legislators to get this accomplished.
Governor, will the description of the incentives be in the news release, or can you summarize for us what the incentives were?
Well, I think Debbie can do that. Why don't I ask Debbie Durham to do that?
Well, certainly. We obviously, the project qualified for high-quality jobs, so they receive a refund of their sales and use tax for construction, which we estimate to account for about 7%. $1.4 million. We also had previously awarded $24 million of high-quality, you know, investment tax credits off their capital investments. Today, there was an amendment for an additional $26 million, so that's a total of $50 million in investment tax credits on their project, with the intention that if the reform does not get made at the legislature for tax reform, that we will go back in 2 years, next year and the year after, and do another $25 million for each, for a total of 100. But today we have only approved $50 million. And then we did a small granting. It was a half loan, half grant for 1.6. Thank you. I was thinking 1.8. Thank you, Kim. Good work. Yeah, yeah. So you see, there's the backup team here. Yeah. Yes, 1.6. And that's half loan and half forgivable. So that is the project incentives.
And so the total on that would be?
Well, right now you're at 57.4, some change, plus 1.6. So.
Remember, it's a $1.4 billion project. I think I heard Farm Bureau estimates that this would save farmers
$750,000 annually.
Yeah.
Million. Or million annually, right. Yeah.
Right.
And also to keep it in perspective, by code we can go up to a full investment tax. By code, we can go up to a full investment tax credit of 10%. With today, what's on the table today, what's been ratified by the board is about 4%. And if we're forced to do the next 2 years because we haven't done real tax reform, then that's going to get us about 8% total.
And is this
I think, by the way, that this can be a real incentive for real tax reform that'll make a difference. And some of you may have been around here when we had IPSCO Steel. This reminds me, and I see a couple of former legislators kind of nodding their heads, but IPSCO Steel was the project. It's now SSAB. It's a steel company that ended up between Muscatine and Davenport at Mount Pilier. And that, I think, was about a $600 million project at the time. And it was, Iowa was not competitive. We didn't get rid of the property tax on machinery and equipment. But what I said at that time, we want to do this, but we also want to do it for all our existing business. And so we want to do this for this project, but we're going to phase it out on the existing industry. We were able, and we had a split legislature just like we have today, and we got that done. It was a battle, but it was worth it. And look what's happened. All of the capital investments, all of the significant investments we've seen at places like Fort Dodge and Osage and all of the ethanol plants and whatever, if we had that annual property tax on machinery and equipment, a lot of that investment would have never happened in Iowa. So we did that. I don't think anybody has ever looked back or thought that wasn't a good thing and beneficial in terms of really quality jobs in capital-intensive investments in our state. I see this as a very similar thing. This is a big deal. It's great jobs. It'll be tremendously helpful to the Iowa farm economy, but I think it also says we need to finish the job of doing the additional tax reform, which we intend to present to the General Assembly next year.
Is this, if in fact this an additional $50 million happens in the next 2 years, would that be the largest state incentive package ever?
That is correct, but it's also the very largest capital investment project we've ever seen in the state of Iowa. So you have to reconcile those two.
Is it also the largest per job incentive? I mean, we're saying 165 jobs. Lee County did $133 million. You guys did, if you count the 50, that's right. 100. So $240 million is what, about $1.4 million a job? Is it the largest per job incentive?
Well, probably. I would say that's correct. But let's also just do the math. Because the reality is, when you look at the economic impact of something of this magnitude, a $1.4 billion capital project, you look at the construction jobs that are going to come alongside and service this, you look at the direct jobs that will co-locate next to this plant, small businesses that will be there permanently, and then you look at what the Lieutenant Governor has already stated and Farm Bureau has documented, because over 50% of this product is being imported into the United States at great cost. And to be able to manufacture that in Iowa, a state that feeds the world, what that means to our farmers. So when you make the equation, I don't think there's anyone can say this was a good deal for Iowa.
I think the 165 jobs number also needs some clarification. The 165 jobs assumes that the product will fly out of the plant, which is not very accurate. We will need to transport the product. We'll need to build additional distribution points. So the 165 are strict operators on the plant. There is a minimum impact of another 1,000 jobs that are outside the facility boundaries of the Iowa Fertilizer Company, and already some logistical distribution points, barging facilities, and all this are being investigated to increase distribution points within the state of Iowa and the surroundings.
How do you transport it mostly? Is it trucking, barge traffic? I mean, rail obviously is important too.
The design of the plant allows for multiple usage. We are located next to the river, so barge transport is an option. It's located next to the highway, so trucking is an option, and we are extending a link to the railway network. So all three modes of transportation are available to that facility.
Can you tell us why Iowa? Why did you decide Iowa inevitably? And what brought you here in the first place to begin with?
For someone who went to the University of Chicago, it was quite a tough decision. But I've learned to do my due diligence, and we've done our due diligence. Even though the promises we got from Illinois were extremely attractive, net-net, they were financially superior to the package we have today in terms of present value of all the incentives and the tax mismatch on discrepancy between the Iowa tax regime and the Illinois tax regime. But our due diligence showed us things that are very obvious to anybody who does any kind of due diligence. The state of Illinois promises that exist today are not sustainable, in our view, given the balance sheet of the state of Illinois. So whatever tax regime exists today, we have to take with a grain of salt. In addition to that, the unfunded pension liabilities of the state of Illinois were a big concern for us, let alone the hypothetical situations that exist in doing business in Illinois and Chicago.
Well, I served with the only two governors in modern history that haven't gone to prison, you know. Thompson and Edgar and the rest of the ones before him and after him. They've all gone to prison. So the difference is we've got a history of clean, honest government. They have a history of corruption. That's one of the points I made to you, I think, when we met.
Before I forget, for the benefit of the broadcasters in the room, will you pronounce your name?
Thank
you.
Saweris.
Nassif
Saweris. Would
you say that again?
Nassif
Saweris.
Yeah.
Well, if we had a more competitive tax structure, we wouldn't have to do it. And that's why this is not the last you're going to hear from me on this subject. Just as I said, I championed the change of the tax on machinery and equipment when we did IPSCO Steel. That was kind of the poster child for that reform. This project's going to be, and that was the biggest one we'd had at that time. That was over $600 million, and it's been a great investment. And you probably know that, you know, it was sold into SSAB, which is a Swedish company, but they have continued to grow. And in fact, they put some other really good research jobs in there recently in that facility. So we see that was a good investment, and it served as a catalyst to get some other positive things done for existing industry and business in Iowa, as well as others that chose our state. We want this to be the same way, and as you've heard, the incentive that's been approved so far, $50 million, we will not have to do the other $50 million if the legislature indeed approves the tax.
You're not going to come back for it.
Right.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
That's the understanding. So it's only. That's right.
Exactly right.
And is Grover Norquist just wrong on this point?
No, I think when Grover Norquist sees what we're going to propose on tax reductions, he is going to be jumping for joy. Because what he hates is tax increases What he loves is tax reductions, and I think when he sees what we're doing and how we're using this really as a catalyst to really reduce the tax burden, make Iowa more simple and competitive, he's going to be a cheerleader for what we're doing.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.